Blog Talk Radio.
I see some black people looking at me, man. It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking dish, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas, bitch. Ted Koppel ain't never took this shit from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, this is Mike Wallace. Run!
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it. Grab it.
Mary had a little man,
it was
quite a snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah! Ah!
Ah! I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
And welcome back, folks. Welcome back to your week. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. The number's 347-308-8701. Tell your friends. Tell your girlfriends. Tell your loved ones. Tell my enemies. Reese on the Radio is back on the air. Today we're going to have a very, very heated debate today. The members of the new Black Panther Party are going to be calling up the show today, and we're going to be having a conversation with them. I've had plenty of conversations with each and every one of the important members of the new Black Panther Party today. I spoke to Brother Khalid Muhammad. I spoke to another brother who calls himself Silky Smooth or something like that. I don't remember his name. I'm kidding. Gentleman by the name of Arthur Reed, who's a part of an organization in New Orleans. And I had a conversation today with the chief of staff of the new Black Panther Party in Tampa, Florida. Her name is Michelle Williams. Do not confuse her with the unimportant chicks from Destiny's Child. This is a different young lady. I spoke to her today. I'll play the audio from my interview with her today as well. We will get into that audio and her calls for violence in regards to the George Zimmerman case. Let me tell you why it's important that we talk about those calls for violence. Right now, all over the internet, is being said that the Black Panther Party is calling for the head of George Zimmerman. They are asking for George Zimmerman to be brought to justice. Although I will tell you what he said himself, but Khalid Muhammad has said that the only justice that he can find for George Zimmerman is for George Zimmerman's life to be taken. The only retribution for Trayvon Martin is the life of George Zimmerman. And we'll have him talk about that himself when he calls in. He's taking care of some business, but he will call back. First, I want to get into, because it's very important, because what has been shown a light on the comments by the Black Panther Party, by Breitbart, and by the Drudge Report this week, were statements by Michelle Williams, and for her calling on violence to take to the streets against white people, and the white people who have oppressed black people for eons. Now, I must warn you, there is language in this phone call. But I tried to keep her direct, but she didn't want to talk to me for too long. When she didn't like what I had to say, she hung up. In fact, she hung up on me twice. The first time, she didn't want to talk to me because she thought I was a white man. And that's probably because I'm eloquent and I'm articulate and I don't have the, you know, down for the struggle sort of voice that the brothers have. I don't say ain't and I ain't down, so to speak. But when I text her and let her know that I was a black man, then she called me back and this exchange took place.
All right, it's Reese on the radio. We are on the phone with Michelle Williams. And Michelle Williams, your position with the new Black Panther Party is again?
The chief of staff.
You are the chief of staff, and you're located in the Tampa area, so you're pretty much near ground zero. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, you are being depicted online on places like Breitbart.com or Breitbart.tv and Drudge Report as making a call for violence in regards to the Trayvon Martin case. Is that true, or is that being misrepresented?
Well, my comments were, when I said that the state of Florida needs to be on fire, that's exactly what I mean. It needs to be on fire with judicial fights. It needs to be on fire with lawsuits being filed for the wrongful death, for the misrepresentation of judges, state prosecutors, and any other parties that have anything to do with these miscarriages of justice that we keep having when it comes to whites killing blacks.
Okay. George Zimmerman is part Peruvian and part Jewish, as has been reported. Does that not matter to you?
Well, of course it matters to me, because this war that has, this race war and these miscarriages of justice that have been waged against the black woman, the black child, and the black man, it's just not happening from white people. It's happening from people of all nationalities.
Okay. So what about the reports that George Zimmerman used to tutor minority children, including African-American children, for free? Does that not play a role in this belief that George Zimmerman is a racist?
Have any of those, I hate to ask a question with the question, but have any of those two of the students or their parents came forward to defense of this young man?
Oh, well, considering the fact that the man has a $10,000 reward for his head, there have been plenty of people who refuse to come forward because they believe that there will be retribution for coming forward. So, okay, so fine, and I'll give you that. I'll give you that, because they haven't come forward, then by no means is that confirmed. So let me ask you this. It has been confirmed that George Zimmerman went to bat for a homeless black man, Sherman Ware. Sherman Ware was attacked by a police lieutenant of Sanford, Florida. Police lieutenant's son. He was punched, sucker punched, and knocked down to the ground. George Zimmerman went after that police lieutenant's son and went after police officers to get justice for Sherman Ware, a homeless black person. He stood outside of black churches trying to get the black community to come to the defense of Sherman Ware, a black man. And black people refused to stand up for Sherman Ware. Would this change your mind about George Zimmerman being a racist?
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't at all. And let me tell you the reason why it's not going to change my mind. Because once everyone involved in this very delicate situation, in this very delicate case, once anyone with a conscious mind takes the race card out of anything and look what has happened to Trayvon Martin, then we will allow ourselves to get to the bottom of the real portions and answers. Everyone across the United States of America and abroad, we all want to know what triggered him to continue to follow that young black man and shoot and kill him.
According to the evidence that's been displayed so far, George Zimmerman was told by the 911 dispatcher not to continue following him, and George Zimmerman said, okay. Can we determine, based on what we heard, whether or not George Zimmerman followed those orders or not?
Okay, and let me tell you something. I've listened to the tapes on MSNBC, NBC, Fox, and CNN, but has anyone really clearly, including the FBI, FDLE, and anybody else of any other agency involved in that, when George Zimmerman was instructed not to follow that young man, he continued to do it.
Wait, Miss Williams. How do you know that? How do you know that he continued to follow him?
In Trayvon Martin dead.
That's not, no. How does that determine that he followed him? According to George Zimmerman's statements, and remember, we are not judge, jury, or executioner here. According to George Zimmerman, he was headed back to his car and was confronted by Trayvon Martin. Are you to say that that never happened? Do you know that that didn't happen?
Well, the last thing I know, and I've always been taught, a dead man can't talk. So
well,
we don't
know. That's
what
not what
Trayvon
I asked
Martin
you, Miss Williams. That's not what I asked you.
I don't believe that.
I don't care what it is that Miss Williams. I don't care what it is that you believe, because it doesn't matter what it is that I believe. I asked you whether or not you had any evidence to support that George Zimmerman didn't do as instructed.
Listen to the tapes again.
I've listened, Miss Williams. I've listened to the tapes. Miss Williams, I've listened. No. Because I asked you.
When George Zimmerman was instructed not to follow him, if you clearly listen to that tape again, when we backed out all the background noise, you know how when you get out of a car and get inside of a car, you hear the key chomping. You hear the key
no,
chomping.
No, Miss Williams. He says that after he was told to go back to his car, George Zimmerman walked away to get the police officer an address. Did you not hear that in those 911 tapes, that he was walking to get the police officer an address to meet him? Did you not hear that in the 911 tapes or no? Did you hear it or no?
Okay, the whole while he was on the phone with 911, we heard the shot go off.
No, actually, he was, no, Miss Williams, not true. The person who you hear the shot go off, that is a witness who says that George Zimmerman was on the ground and Trayvon was on top of him. That is where you hear the gunshot. That is a separate call. That is a separate 911 call. That is a fact. George Zimmerman was not on the phone with 911 when the shot went off. That is a neighbor, in fact, a witness known as John, who says he came outside, saw Trayvon Martin on top of George Zimmerman, banging his head on the ground and punching him, and he said, "I'm going to call police." When you hear the gunshot, that is from a separate phone from the witness known as John, who has come forward and said that George Zimmerman was on the ground and Trayvon was on top of him. Did you not hear that report, ma'am?
I've heard a whole bunch of foolery. I've heard the same thing. I've heard the same thing that we've witnessed as black people in America for the last 100 years, that white people still can do and cover up, make all type of false allegations and make all type of false incidents reports. We know that 75% of what goes in a police report is nothing but a blatant lie. And again, here it is right now that the whole world, the whole entire world has watched this case unfold in front of him, where we've all been like the waves in the Atlantic Ocean. We've all wavered from side to side.
Miss Williams,
okay,
let me ask.
Let it be in the middle.
Miss Williams.
You asked me for an interview. Now you don't listen to what I got to say.
No, Miss Williams, because I want to stick with the point, ma'am. Miss Williams.
We've all been on both sides of the fence, and we've looked at what's going on. The same thing that's going to happen. We all know right now, as blacks in America, that them damn honkies down in fucking Tampa, Florida, are not going to give an arrest for George Zimmerman.
Miss Williams, let's stick with the case. Miss Williams, I'm only asking you to stick with the case. I understand with your grievance with white America.
Okay, for me to stick with the case, let's stick with the facts.
Well, then let's deal with.
Let's stick with this goddamn facts. You called me for this goddamn interview. I didn't know your damn phone number. You reached the street.
You're absolutely. But Miss Williams. Miss Williams, I called you about an interview about. Miss Williams, I called you for an interview about your statements related to the Trayvon Martin case. Not. And there you have it. That was our interview with Michelle Williams from the New Black Panther Party. She is the chief of staff for the New Black Panther Party. I don't know if she's the chief financial officer. She says she's the chief of staff.
Oh, okay.
And again, trying to have a conversation with her about the case, and of course, it went directly over into 200 years, 100 years. The African American community has had issues. The African American community has had with white people, which I understand. That's bottom line is, if this is being used as a jump off to trigger that animus that we're using the Trayvon Martin case in order for us to say, now we ain't standing for it, I got a problem with that. Because then Trayvon Martin's being used. It doesn't matter what evidence comes out. It doesn't matter what it is that comes out to be factual.
even though all of this reporting has now been turned over, NBC had to fire a producer. It doesn't matter that CNN had to go back and go over the audio where everyone thought that George Zimmerman said effing coon. Now it turns out he says it's effing cold. It doesn't matter that ABC had to enhance the video to then prove that George Zimmerman had scars in the back of his head. It doesn't matter that the media, who has been perpetuating this as being a racial incident, has now come back and had to clean up its act. That the members of the new Black Panther Party have still stood their ground to make this a racial issue. We've had this gentleman as a guest on the show before, two Mondays ago. He's back again. National spokesperson for the new Black Panther Party, Mr. Sean Quali. Mr. Quali,
hey.
Thank you again for joining the show.
Thank you for having me on the show. It sounds like you give my little sister a hard time.
I have to, sir. I have to. Because in order for us to get to the truth, we have to challenge what it is that's out there. And
you got to go by what you got. Let me just say this. You got to go by what you got. You can't insert what you want to insert.
Okay, fair enough. We can't insert what it is that we want to insert. So with that being said, Mr. Quali, then let me say this, that so far it has been told over and over again that it's been destroyed. The evidence that Mr. George Zimmerman is a racist, that narrative is being destroyed every day.
How do you figure?
I will tell you. The fact that he tutored and mentored underprivileged and minority children is one.
I'm not going to cut you off. I want you to hear this part
because this is very important. The Sherman Ware case took place in Sanford, Florida. A police lieutenant's white son punches out a homeless black man. George Zimmerman went to bat for Sherman Ware, a black man. He tried to get the officer's son arrested with a felony, and he went after two Sanford police officers to get them fired and disciplined. If there's anybody who had it out for George Zimmerman before this shooting of Trayvon Martin took place, it was the Sanford Police Department, because he went after one of their own. And you
All
know,
right.
Mr. Quali, that if you go after the police department, you are their enemy for life. Is that not
if,
true?
If, let me answer that. Let me answer that. If the Sanford police had it out for George Zimmerman, then they would have charged him immediately on the spot. The fact that an incident occurred and there was no charges said the opposite. They didn't have it out for George Zimmerman, sir. He was someone that they knew and someone who had also tried to get on the force. It wasn't like that.
So wait. So George Zimmerman trying to get officers disciplined at the Sanford Police Department garnered him special privileges with that police department that didn't charge him?
That's what you said. I said it is recorded that George Zimmerman tried out to get on the force, the Sanford Police Department. They already knew who he was.
Okay, I'm aware of that, but again,
right.
he went after the same police department that you are claiming he got preferential treatment from. Does that not make sense?
I didn't say that he got preferential treatment. What I have said consistently is that the Sanford police did not do their job in leveling charges on George Zimmerman. That's what
Thank
I said.
You. And you and I agree there. You and I agree that the Sanford Police Department, that is the only place where you and I agree. And
if you're truthful, there'll be many in a minute.
I don't know. Well, fair enough. The bottom line is this. I want to go after the fact that members of the Black Panther, the new Black Panther Party, Reverend Al Sharpton, the Congressional Black Caucus, and Jesse Jackson have called George Zimmerman a racist with no evidence to support it. It doesn't
why,
take.
Why do you say that? Everything presented says the opposite. Now I hear that you're saying that he allegedly said it's effing cold, but that's even disputed. So bottom line is, if he would have been charged and this could have been tried properly, maybe them facts would have came out. Bottom line is, he was not charged. Bottom line is, we have one dead Trayvon Martin who was shot and killed at the hands of one George Zimmerman. Now, you mean to tell me, sir, that there is no racist intent when this man, when you look at the area from where George Zimmerman covered to get to Trayvon Martin, he covered over four blocks. on the phone with 911. So
what
you mean to tell me there's no racist intent? He didn't stop Trayvon Martin.
He didn't say they
always get away, these assholes? Who is he talking about, sir?
Mr. Quali, he's talking about criminals.
Okay, so in him describing Trayvon Martin, his features, being a black man, having a hoodie, and having what he said was something in his hand to give, as you say, a criminality, which turned out to be Skittles, is that not racism, sir?
No, actually it's not. It's saying that George Zimmerman falsely identified Trayvon Martin as somebody suspicious.
Why did he do that?
Because he thought that he was lurking around the area suspiciously.
And so what about George Zimmerman calling 911 on other black males weeks prior? You talked to me about that.
Again, sir. Mr. Quali.
He had a history of harassing black males through 911.
Mr. Quali.
Yes.
Are you telling me that in that community there were not robberies taking place?
I don't, and you don't know what was going on.
You can't change the narrative on me, Mr.
I didn't
Paul.
Change anything.
Yes,
I'm saying
yes,
I can't
you
tell you what's
said,
going on. I can only go
said,
by what I can only go by what has been presented.
You said that he was harassing the police department to go after black men.
That's
right?
Exactly what I said. But how do you know it was black men committing the robbery, sir?
How do you know
it was black men committing the robbery?
How do we know that they're not?
I'm asking you the same, sir. So you can't make that assumption.
Mr. Quali, if I see
a
suspicious person in a community that I live in and there have been a large number of break-ins, I'm going to do my due diligence. George Zimmerman, and I'm not speaking for him and I'm not defending him, but let me tell you something about what I see George Zimmerman doing that I don't see in other communities. I know in most black communities where there are crack dealers and gang members running around killing and accosting young kids, killing them, beating them down, and destroying those communities. I know a bunch of black people in those neighborhoods.
And I know a bunch of white and brown and otherwise. What's your point, sir?
Don't call police and do not get involved when they're.
What is your point, sir? The same crime element that happens in the black community happens in the white community.
Listen to me. First of all, Trayvon Martin, or anybody for that matter, who's in a community that's lurking around and looks suspicious, I don't care what color they are.
Okay, so why make an issue out of it?
Again, sir, I'm not making this an issue.
You're making an issue trying to plead a case for George Zimmerman and say he's not a racist. I'm saying the fact that George Zimmerman continuously called on young black males in the area because of what you say was a robbery, you're saying it doesn't make him a racist. I say it does.
So you're saying that he should have only reported white people?
That's not what I said. I say he should be fair and balanced.
Well, what if there are no white people that are lurking around? Is he supposed to
find? Say that. You can't make that assumption. White people stole a whole bunch of black people coming to the shores of North America historically. Don't try to make that assumption, Mr. Quali. I'm just making a point. You're trying to make a point like white people don't steal, sir.
I didn't say that. What the heck did
I say? Well, let's be clear. Let's be clear on Reese on the radio that white people steal too. Now go right ahead.
You know white people steal. What type of
all right.
Go ahead, Mary. Mary would like to ask you a question.
I'm just so amazed the fact that, you know, it's like I look at it like this. This 17-year-old kid, his life was taken. This George Zimmerman should have to go through the court system. There should be an investigation. The Sanford Police Department. I know it hasn't happened, and I wish that it would happen. I'm hoping that it does happen when the special defense attorney makes their decision. I hope that they make the right decision. I hope they make the right decision for everyone at stake, because this has become a public safety issue at this point. And I'm amazed that it, you know, whether he was black, white, Latino, Asian, whatever, this is a kid that lost his life. An investigation should be taking place, whether this was a racist issue or not. Someone lost, if a so-called innocent child has lost their life.
Do you have a question?
I know. I mean, it's just.
Don't cut her off. She's making some good points.
I want to know if she has a question and whether or not it's right.
No, I mean,
you don't want her to make a good point. Go right ahead.
I don't understand. I don't understand all this racial rhetoric. The fact is, a presumably innocent child has lost their life, regardless of their race. Would everybody be involved? Would this be such a huge case if this was a black-on-black crime, a white-on-white crime, a Asian-on-Asian crime? Would this be such an issue? It probably would not. We all know that it would not. But
I would hope so.
But you know what? Unfortunately, Mr. Qualley, you, I, and everyone else here understand that it would not. We know that. Those are the facts based on previous incidents, okay? We all know that. But this has become a public safety issue where I, in myself, you know, have thought about in the last few days when I go to work, when I go to the store, when I do whatever, I'm like, you know what? What happens if this racial war does end up taking place? All of this rhetoric is just bringing on a racial war, and that's not what needs to happen. We all need to stand up as a human race, as a people together, and not stand for anyone taking anyone's life.
Unfairly or unjust.
Let me say this just for the record. Let me say this. The new Black Panther Party is not responsible for the racial climate in America. I think that's a scapegoat. The new Black Panther Party is responding to the racism that has been heaped on us for over 400 years. Again, let me finish. I didn't cut you off. I understand your pain. I understand what you're saying about the safety issues in all of this. But the bottom line is, again, if justice had been served, not only in the case of Trayvon, but in the case of every single incident like this, from this, like I said before on the show, the Sean Bells, the Oscar Grants, and in the fact that now we're talking about 29 black people being killed by police forces since January of 2012. If justice has been dealt rightly, you wouldn't have this issue. But because it's not, and because the system is still broke, and because we're still being exploited, and we're still being murdered in the streets, we have to defend ourselves. So you're right to think about safety. You're right to think about looking at your surroundings and all of that, but you just got to be real with yourself and understand you're in the hells and smells of North America. It's not going to be pretty right now.
The number is 347-308-8701. We're on the phone, Reese on the radio, with the national spokesperson for the Black Panther Party, Mr. New Black Panther Party, Mr. Sean Qualley. Mr. Qualley, I've got to ask you a question. Look, it's being reported all over the place. It's being reported all over the place that people are calling for racial retaliation. And we're not talking
against
about
who? For what?
Racial retaliation against whites in Sanford, Florida, and in the surrounding areas.
Who's calling for that?
What?
Sir, what do you mean, who's calling for that?
Who's calling for that?
Well, sir,
who is called for retaliation against whites?
Well, it's being widely reported that members of the new Black Panther Party are asking for blood on blood. In fact, Khalid Muhammad, who I spoke to earlier today, who said that the only justice in this case is the death of George Zimmerman.
All right. And Khalid Muhammad, whoever that is, has a right to feel how he feels. There are many people who have different various thoughts on this issue, sir. Some who do feel like the ultimate justice in this case would be the death according to the law of George Zimmerman. I'm saying according to the law that's tried by jury and all of that. But again, sir, that is not necessarily the official line of the new Black Panther Party, and nor have we called for what you're saying is what you're claiming that we're calling for a race war. We haven't said that, sir. Where are you getting that from?
So how do you combat?
But how do you feel that the rhetoric that you are using and the point that you are trying to get across to all African-American people that this is a racial issue, we're not going to stand for this anymore, and this is what's going to have to happen, and so forth, you're leading people into that. That type of rhetoric is leading people into that. And that is
what kind of rhetoric? Telling people to stand up and defend themselves?
Listen, Mr. Qualley, everyone should stand up and defend themselves. And
what's
for
the
every
problem?
Person and for every person that loses their life, Mr. Qualley, everyone should have a new Black Panther Party to come out and say, we're not going to stand for this. The new Black
Thank
Panther
you.
Party and everyone else across America as Americans in this country should stand up for one another, regardless of your race, religion, financial background, any of that. everyone should be stood up for. It shouldn't take, oh, it was an African-American kid that got killed, and George Zimmerman is half white and half Latino. So he's presumably white anyway, regardless, just like if you are half black and half white, you are presumably black.
So what's the problem, my sister?
I'm just not understanding your problem here. My brother, the problem is that this should not, none of this should be about race, because they are innocent white, black, Latino, Asian people all across this country and everywhere else in this world that are losing their lives for no reason at all, and we should all stand together as
well,
one. Because my brother, let me finish.
Yes, ma'am. We
all come from the same. When we leave this earth, we hopefully will all go to the same place. Unfortunately, not all of us will. But when we do, the judgment day will come and God will judge us. We should not be out judging anyone else. What we should be doing is trying to keep each other safe as a human race, not segregate one another and say, well, this is what I'm going to do for my black people because I'm black. The only reason you're black and other people are white and other people are other colors is because of a biological reason. There is something called melatonin that is in your skin that other people lack. It's a biological thing. All of us are the same.
I can't really say that's biblically true. I would say this, that again,
it's
the Bible says this.
True.
The Bible says this, sister. If you're quoting scripture to me, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, in everything there's a season. Everything has a time. Everything has a purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. What I'm saying is this, my sister, that we are in a time right now of war. And right now, in a time of war, when it appears that police departments and racists all across North America have declared war on black people, I cannot tell my people not to defend themselves and not to be cautious because you're black. Again, the new Black Panther Party is not, we're not the ones who have made this a racial issue. America, in building a system on the backs of blacks, regardless of how you, if you want to scapegoat it or not, made it a racial issue. We're only responding, sister, and we're only trying to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and also sound the alarm. I don't know why you want to make, or people want to make, the new Black Panther Party to be the boogeyman when we're only telling our people to arm themselves, harm themselves, and to defend themselves. It's not us you got to be looking at and got to be afraid of, sister.
But you know what, Mr. Kwali? It is not every white man. It is not every other person that is different than a black person. That we all, you know what? All of this craziness that is going on in this world today, and I wish everyone could understand that we're about to, you know, go into a new presidency. We don't know if Barack Obama is going to win or if Mitt Romney. We don't know what's going to happen. Our country, us as a people, as Americans, our country is under fire, and that is the biggest thing that we need to be thinking about. There are innocent people everywhere being hurt, and what this all really boils down to is a financial issue. None of this has to do with race. It really doesn't, and I don't understand why. I don't get it. I don't get it. People are already segregating. You know, there's been segregation for so many years. And to classify yourself as a black person first. No, we are human beings. We are, and in this country, we're American human beings. So that's who we are as a people first. All of that,
that's idealistic, but it's not necessarily the reality.
You know what, Mr. Kwali, you are exactly 100% correct. I will not deny that. I understand. Believe me, I understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. But if we all adopt that idealistic way, then all of that other nonsense will disappear.
Well, my sister, I would say that I would love to, as even Martin Luther King talked about, I would love to have that dream with you where everybody could be together in peace. We are a peaceful people. And as you hear the new Black Panther Party say all the time, we believe in peace when possible. We believe in peace when possible, but violence if necessary, meaning self-defense when necessary. And so I'm saying this, I would love to share that with you, but in being idealistic right now, being idealistic can get you killed in a real reality. We're looking at real conditions. We're looking at a real circumstance, and we are being killed because of our color. No matter how much we want to say we're Americans, we're all human, we're all universal, we're all one, my sister, that is not the reality in America, and it has not been for a long time. And until our people, Rick, our people, black people, have something to call their own, it's going to be this way.
Mr. Kweli, I hear where you're coming from. But all people that segregate each, regardless of the segregation, whether it is due to race, whether it is due to financial background, whether it is due to your religious beliefs or your life views, everyone is segregated into all these different groups. And when you
who
do
did that,
and
you, let me ask you, my sister, who did? Did the new Black Panther Party do that?
No,
who
I'm not,
that?
Mr. Kweli, I'm not blaming you for that. I'm not
all
blaming
right.
you for that. We.
You're contributing to it, well, by the way.
I'm not blaming you for that.
I would even say we're not contributing to it. We're analyzing it, sir. The same way, if a patient comes into a hospital in critical condition, you must analyze the situation. We're analyzing the problem, and we're also offering solutions.
Mr. Kweli, you are exactly right, and I'm glad that you brought up the point of going into an emergency room and so forth, because actually we've talked about this before on air. Reese and I and the rest of the crew have talked about this, how you get, you know, certain races, certain financial backgrounds don't get the same assistance that someone else may in an emergency situation.
I
have to agree with you. I've seen it. I have to agree with you, and I think it is despicable.
Okay.
It is absolutely despicable.
Go ahead, my sister. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
It's absolutely despicable, but all of us have to change all of us, starting with each individual person, have to change our views and our looks on everything, and everyone should have the same rights as everyone else, regardless of what background you come from.
You can let me jump in here.
Go ahead.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu-Shabazz, he teaches on the true meaning of revolution. The word revolution is something that many have grown to fear because of propaganda or because you saw it on television. But what it actually means, my sister, is complete constructive change. The Bible says, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the ending. We were in peace in the beginning, and we believe if we go through these periods of turbulent times with the right attitude, the right spirit, and the right ideology and strategy, we'll come out in peace.
Okay.
I hope, I pray to God every day that all of this ends peacefully without any craziness for anybody. I honestly hope that.
Look, I really, really have to get off of this really, really sappy.
You don't like this piece, huh, Reese?
No,
Reese, you don't like that?
Absolutely not.
Reese doesn't like this piece we're talking right now.
I could care less about it when I hear that people are marching in the streets. I can care less about it when people are asking for boycotts and protests of innocent individual businesses.
That's not new.
I don't care whether or not it's new.
I don't care if you don't care.
It's a form of terrorism.
Brother, if you would say that, I would say the conditions that allow exploitation like capitalism is a form of terrorism.
Well, we'll talk about capitalism at another time, Mr. Kweli.
Well, let's talk about it right now.
I understand that you agree with him, Mary, and I mean no disrespect.
He don't like it, Mary. He don't like
that
we agree.
I've got a question. Hold on. Let JC ask a question, and then I've got some questions.
He wants to fan the flames. Go ahead, JC. Quick question for you.
Yeah, this is JC, the producer.
Your services will be better served serving the community directly. I mean, you're going to be able to organize people who get off on robbing each other?
You're asking a group of people to
arm themselves, and they're already armed, and they would prefer to rob, stab, and shoot and kill one another. Don't we have to clean our own kitchen and organize before we can consider trying to organize against anyone else?
That is, I would say at the root of that, a tricky and racist question. I would say this.
Tricky and racist question?
That I would say absolutely, given the way that you presented it, because what you're saying is that black people or impoverished people are natural criminals. That is not the case. The black communities of the United States, they're the tragic result, as Mary was talking about, of class and race subjugation, an oppressive situation that has been created and exploited by rich white capitalists. That is the fact. Okay, so as long as you have the haves and the have-nots, sir, you will always have those who will either rob, steal, or kill to get what they need. It was not just blacks that have done that. Whites have done that. Indians have done that. Hispanics have done that. Anybody who needs to get what they need are going to do what they got to do.
But so nobody's trying
issue,
to organize
let me finish,
them.
The issue is not the issue is not the crime
this
is being committed. Necessarily. Can I finish? The issue is not the act of the crime that is being committed. The issue is the root reason why the crime is being committed. That's what you got to talk about.
Mr. Qualley, I have to jump.
Finally, we danced around that one.
I think you can
call it what you want, but I can't believe that you would present such a racist, distasteful question to me.
Well, he as a black man, which JC the producer is, he's asking an important.
I don't give a damn. That's the question that a racist would ask somebody.
Well, actually, that's because, and what JC is making his point about, is that the statistics show that 95% of African Americans in this country who are being targeted. Are being targeted by people of their own race. Would you not agree with that?
As I said again, I don't think that you missed it. I said that the black community are the tragic results of class and race subjugation in an oppressive situation. And so, of course, when blacks cannot deal with the root reason of why they're poor, why we are impoverished, why our communities are the way that they are, of course we're going to attack each other.
So
that happens in any colonized situation.
So you're saying that the reason why that they don't cross those quote unquote boundaries and start attacking their white oppressors is why?
Because number one, we suffer from a knowledge of ourselves, and we suffer from a knowledge of who our oppressors are. We have been in this condition, as we talked about, for over 400 years, and now we've got to the point where we can't really identify who we are, who our oppressors are, because everybody's talking this, as I said, this human is talking, this universal talking, not dealing with the root problem. That's why.
Okay. Now, again, how do you organize those people?
Yeah, how do you organize
those? That was my question. How do you organize
those
people?
How do you organize those people? Sir,
yeah.
The same way that we've been organizing those people, the people that we organize on a daily and consistent basis come from the same backgrounds that you're talking about. Some of the membership of the new Black Panther Party comes from the background that you're talking about. We're not natural criminals, sir. That's why I said your question is disrespectful. Even if you're a black man, with all due respect, I'm saying that's disrespectful. We are not natural criminals. And if you take away that element that of poverty and that element of exploitation, the people would do for themselves. The people would have their own. But again, we're in situations that cause us to do things we wouldn't normally do. We were not natural criminals in our original state, was we?
No.
We
were natural criminals.
So there's conditions that have been set.
I grew up in one of the toughest projects in the state of Connecticut.
In fact, back in the
60s and 70s, I was just talking to one of the older gentlemen from the project that I lived in years ago about how they started Black Panther marches from my project in Connecticut, Hartford, Connecticut.
That's great.
And I look at where the path that I chose my own path. And I look at my friends who pretty much had the same upbringing that I have, who are either now in jail, and many of them aren't. Well, luckily, many of my friends are pretty much on the same path that I'm on today, at or about the same place. I don't understand how can you how you could easily state that it's the environment that we're.
He's saying that we're made to live in that environment by the capitalist white man.
That's such a great question. I would say that's the subculture that we're talking about, because again, we're not even addressing the real root of the reason, but the subculture that we're talking about materialized out of the need of black folks for security and a sense of belonging, and that since they've been denied the bourgeois class. What I mean when I say that is all we want to do is get ahead. Everybody, as we're talking, this whole conversation, the whole point is about us getting ahead, us getting along, us being in peace. But when you have those who are systematically denied the right, as the Constitution says, to the pursuit of happiness, systematically denied, and then there is a playing field set, again, of a class society of the haves and the have-nots. You're going to have those who have the mindset or the activity of a piranha. That's what happens. So if you remove that class society, and if you remove that exploitation, again, you don't have the piranha mentality.
I'm still a have-not, but I haven't taken up arms and gone out there and
everybody
had to get a gun
that.
And feed my family.
Everybody, but you have not been pushed to that point. Everybody doesn't do that. Some people are pushed to the point to where they have to do what they have to do. I'm not here talking about morality, saying right or wrong. I'm talking about the conditions and what's going on. If you grew up in the roughest housing project in Connecticut, you have to bear witness that project is a conducer or a developer of poverty, depression, suffering, shame, and death. Now, if you didn't take the path that you saw others take, it is because you saw people doing negative things that you yourself said you didn't want to do. But at the end of the day, if you say you're still a have-not, sir, you're still struggling.
Mr. Kweli, if I may, so JC saying that he grew up in this project, and, you know, we grow up in situations that are not so fortunate. I think that all of us, at least for myself, and I know Reese and JC, you know, I grew up in some, you know, unfortunate times. We had a lot of rough times growing up. But that made me who I am today. And mm-hmm. I strive every day to not be a product. I never have lost where I came from and who and what made me who I am today as mm-hmm. a 37-year-old woman. But I can honestly sit here and tell you that I did not have to stay in that situation. I took myself out of that situation. I saw a lot of bad things go on. I saw a lot of people come and go, die of crack habits, AIDS, you know, heroin addicts. I've seen a lot, alcoholism, abuse. I've seen a lot of different things, prostitution. A lot of bad things throughout my life, but that made me who I am today, and I'm a better person for that, and I will never forget it. But I keep striving to not go to not be a product of my own environment. And as free people in this country, because this is a free country we live in. I understand that racism still exists. I understand that it still exists, and I've had people be racist towards me, black and white. For my choices in life. But just because you come from somewhere, bad, good, or indifferent, doesn't mean that you don't have the opportunity to bring yourself out of that.
Or you don't
have. There are a lot of people, my sister, who come from impoverished conditions, myself being one, and many others, who come up and do well for themselves, so-called well for themselves in life. I'm not saying that you have to be in an impoverished condition and stay in an impoverished mindset, but I guarantee you this, that whatever it was that pulled you up out of the condition of the situation you were in, it was your mind. Whatever, it was something that you learned that said that you would push yourself farther than what you saw in the reality that you were looking in. And all I'm saying is this, that there are those who are in the communities who, for whatever the reason is, they refuse to learn, they refuse to study, they have not been properly re-educated or given self-worth and self-esteem, and so they do the things that were put on us by the colonizer. So that's why I'm saying that the work of the New Black Panther, Party is to go back into the community and grab those. Because I have to say, it is sickening to us. I don't know why we're spending so much time like defending.
I'm not
George
trying to. That's the whole
that
point
cheer.
I'm trying
it's
to make here,
to
Mr.
Us.
Kweli.
You just made my point, Mr. Kweli. I am.
Tell me how I did that, because I think if I made yours, I made mine.
No. If you go back to my original question, my question was, don't you think that your services are better served in the community trying to help those that to change that particular mindset?
He is.
Again, it's not a question of better served. We, as I said on the last show, sir, we do that on a daily and consistent basis. But when we let me finish this. When we get a response from the community, see, that's what we're trying to drive home to you. When there is a response from the community, and they're telling us a felon is on the loose, we're afraid for our lives and our safety. Like Miss Mary is saying, it is our job to respond and to defend our people. So we always serve our community first. That's where we come from.
But
in the incidences of murder and crime, we got to step up.
Mr. Kweli, just you just said we have to defend within our own community.
That's right.
Why do you keep doing that? We are all of one community. It's like, don't
say. Well, sister, if we are all of one community, how come the disparity is so deep?
Wait, I didn't say we were all of white community. I said we are all of one community.
I said what you said. I said if we are all of one community, how come the disparities are so deep? You cannot look in the white community and find the amount of whites who are in the penitentiaries and miseducated like what you see in the black community. Be honest with yourself.
Mr. Kweli, I'm not saying that you can. I'm not by any means.
But that doesn't make us one, sister. That's a deep racial divide in America.
I'm not saying that there isn't. I'm not saying that there are issues going on. I'm not putting on blinders and saying that everything is a bowl of cherries. It's not.
Stop trying to make us one, because right now, my sister, we are not one, and we have not been one for a long time.
Mr. Kweli,
I don't know if we've ever been one.
But we need, but we all need to. If we all adopt that thought, then everyone will fall into one. If we try to bring on the rhetoric to adopt that thought instead of bringing on the rhetoric to segregate ourselves, then people will start adopting those. They will listen to people like you that have a strong voice in lots of different communities. They will listen to people like Reese or people like us that are on the radio talking about things like this.
We don't have to
segregate ourselves. Segregation does nothing but hurt.
My sister, everything in nature goes to its own. You don't see dogs really running with cats or fish running with other, you know, certain schools of fish, running with other certain schools of fish.
We're human. We're not animals.
Wait a minute. Hold one second. Everything in nature has its own community. There is nothing wrong with us having our own values, our own norms, our own customs, our own educational system, our own laws, government, and statutes. Nothing wrong with that at all.
No. Okay, now I got to stop. I've let everybody talk. I let everybody get a conversation with you, Mr. Kweli. Okay? I have to conduct this interview because I know I only have you for an hour. And I understand everybody wants to get into an ideological conversation with you. That's not important to me. And you know why it's not important to me. The reason why it's not important to me is because I don't agree with you ideologically. And you and I say to each other that we're both wrong. I believe that you are 100% wrong. You believe that I am. So let's get to the crux.
I believe you're wrong on something.
I understand. Well, let's get to the crux of this interview, okay? Are you denouncing any violence that takes place in the streets if George Zimmerman is not charged with the shooting of Trayvon Martin? Is the new Black Panther Party?
I'm not denouncing any violence in the streets. I'm denouncing reactionary violence in the streets.
So you are denouncing reactionary violence.
There's a difference because again, according to certain statutes, violence could be self-defense. I just want to be clear. I'm telling the people to defend themselves by any means necessary. When you have armed neo-Nazis patrolling the streets looking for problems, I'm saying, yes, defend yourself. Absolutely.
So I'll say again,
don't be reactionary. We're not inciting the people to be violent. We've been peaceful the whole time, sir. Peaceful the whole time.
Mr. Kweli, I'll ask you again. So there'll be no provocation by the new Black Panther Party of any violence whatsoever.
There has been none that has come from the new Black Panther Party. We have from the beginning demanded justice in the case of Trayvon Martin. I don't see how that's violent.
Okay, I'm just asking you the question. So
I'm answering the question. I don't see how that's violent.
I want to get the question out, and then you can answer it.
All right, go right ahead.
So in the event that the special prosecutor decides that there are no charges going to be handed down to George Zimmerman, you are telling me that there will be no provocation of violence by the new Black Panther Party. Is that a fact?
Sir, I cannot control how the people react to a decision of such grand magnitude. I can't just in many cases, the people have responded with spontaneous eruption, and it has nothing to do with the new Black Panther Party. You're giving me too much credit. The people have a right to be angry. The community has a right to be angry. And there are those who are not under the charge of the new Black Panther Party that we have no control over. How can I answer for them?
Mr. Kwali, then I will ask again. Let me rephrase the question. If the special prosecutor decides not to charge George Zimmerman with a crime, are you willing to tell me right here that under no circumstances will the new Black Panther Party condone any provocation of violence?
I will say again, with certain circumstance, that we do not condone reactionary violence, but we're telling our people to defend themselves. I don't think you're missing what I'm saying.
Well, no, I think you're evading my question. I said
because you're trying to get me to tell the people how they should respond.
I didn't say 400 years, sir. I didn't say
people are
going to
respond different ways. I don't have control over how the people are going to respond.
Mr. Kwali,
and you can't you're not going to be able to put me
Mr.
in a box
Kwali.
And answer
okay,
how the people
no, no,
are going to
no,
respond.
No.
You
Mr.
can't
Kwali.
Do that.
Mr. Kwali. Mr. Kwali, I did not say the people. I'm saying, but
you're talking about the new Black Panther Party. The new Black Panther Party has been peaceful all the way through.
Again, speaking for the national, you as the national spokesman for the new Black Panther Party, is the new Black Panther Party's position that they will not provoke any violence whatsoever if George Zimmerman is not charged?
But you're very clear on our position. Our position is a position of self-defense. We have never provoked anyone, sir. Why would you ask such a tricky question?
So
why would you ask me such a tricky? We have never provoked anyone, sir. We have never incited anyone, sir.
But the answer is no.
Over 20 years of our history being here, when have you heard about us inciting or provoking anybody?
Sir, there's a bounty on George Zimmerman's head.
There's not a bounty on George Zimmerman. There's a reward out for his capture brought by the community in response with the new Black Panther Party. There's a bounty on Assata Shakur. Talk about Assata Shakur.
Wait. Are you telling me?
No. There is a bounty on Assata Shakur. There's a reward out for George Zimmerman's lawful citizen's arrest.
You're saying that it's lawful, sir?
According to Florida statute, it is.
Well, according to a member of the Black Panther Party, he's actually speaking out of both sides of his mouth when he says, hold on, I'll play the audio for you. Here's what he says about the Constitution.
We can make a citizen's arrest when the United States government will not do their job. According to the Constitution, we have that right.
According to the Constitution, we have that right. But then when he was asked about the Constitution, he said this.
Andrew, I want to say I don't obey the white man's law. I don't follow the American law. The American law does not protect me, Anderson. I'm not a citizen.
So which is it? You can lawfully put out a reward for George Zimmerman, but the Black Panther Party does not obey the white man's law?
I like it. You ask such devilish questions. I like
it.
Let me answer your question. He did not say the new Black Panther Party, because if you ask him, does the new Black Panther Party tell its followers and its members to follow the law, he would have to say yes.
Mr. Kwali,
he would have to say yes, sir. He spoke for himself. He said I. He said I, sir.
It pains me to say this. It pains me to say this, Mr.
Well, I'm just telling you what he said. He said I. He did not say we in the new Black Panther Party.
Mr. Kwali.
Wait a minute. I'm the national spokesman. I'm giving you the national line.
Fine. Then you're giving me the national line. It pains me to say this, Mr. Kwali. I think that the new Black Panther Party, when they're challenged, I think they backpedal. And I think you're back.
Well, you can say that because I guess you think it makes you feel good and puffed up. But I'm just telling you what the line is.
Stop! We're not in grade school. Don't talk.
I'm telling you what the line is. The line is we follow the law. The line is we do everything according to legal statute. That has been our line. Now, what are you talking about?
You're following legal statute.
That's what I said. Our national chairman is an attorney, sir. Is that right?
Yeah, the national chairman is an attorney. Let me ask.
All right, then. So why would an attorney be outside of the law, sir?
Well, if you have one of your people out there talking to Anderson Cooper saying that he doesn't obey the white man's law,
he misspoke. But again, he did not represent the national line of the New Black Panther Party. Okay. You have people who speak on behalf of the Democratic Party, Republican Party, that later come back and apologize because they put their personal invective in it, sir. You can't do us like that.
I appreciate you saying that that is not the stance of the New Black Panther Party, which is exactly what I was trying to get out of you.
That's not. I just said that. But I think you're so into trying to make a rah-rah session, you're not listening to what I'm saying.
No. Let me tell you something. First of all, I'm more than frustrated that right now. More than frustrated. Because I will admit, I wanted to conduct an interview, but you know what? I got a crew here, and they want to have an ideological conversation with you, and that's fine for them to do that.
Don't get mad at them.
I'm not mad at them. I don't care for ideology here. Do you want to know why I don't care for it? Because in this case, as far as ideology is concerned, there are people's lives at stake. And there is a man who is going to be hunted down and killed because of the rhetoric that is spewing out of people's mouths, not only just people who are out there screaming justice for Trayvon, there are also members of your group who is speaking out of turn, and you know they are, speaking out of turn and creating a ruckus within the community of Sanford, Florida.
If you were a self-appointed neighborhood watchman, sir, does that give you the right to hunt somebody down?
Oh, let me explain something to you. If somebody is in my neighborhood who doesn't belong there and
Who is that? What part of the neighborhood do you own, sir?
No.
What part of the neighborhood do you own, sir?
Do I pay taxes in my neighborhood?
That's not my question, sir. What part of the neighborhood do you own?
I didn't say who belongs
and who doesn't belong.
The neighborhood that I own.
That's
is
the problem.
If I own a home and I live in a community.
They were not in your home, sir. They were in your neighborhood. They were in the neighborhood.
I pay taxes for my neighborhood. That's not the point.
The point is you do not own the neighborhood. It's public property, sir.
No, it isn't. That was a gated community. That's
private. All right. Again, now we're talking about criminality. Again, so now that his father and his father's fiance being in the gated community does not give him the right to be there.
I didn't say that. I just.
So what are you saying? You don't know the circumstance, but you're saying based upon a judgment that he has no right to be there because you feel like he doesn't.
Mr. Sean Quali, let me tell you. If I were a property owner and there was someone in my community who did not belong there, and then I thought my life was threatened.
I hear you, and that's the same stance that George Zimmerman took, and that's the same reason why Trayvon Martin is dead. I have to run, fam.
Okay. I understand it. Thank you for your time, Mr. Quali.
Thank you so much, Reese. It's always a pleasure. Ms. Mary and JC, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate you all. Thank you for the interview.
Thanks. Mr. Quali, thank you, and have a wonderful evening. May God bless you.
Peace and blessings to you all. Thank you so much.
I understand you guys, JC. I know you guys want to have this ideological conversation with them because you're trying to figure out where it is that they're coming from. But why does that matter to you? Why does it matter?
That matters to me, and what matters to you. But that
no, I'm asking you. I'm asking you. You wanted to have that conversation.
Because
why does
to
it
me, that's the bigger picture to me. That's the bigger picture.
JC, are you there?
This is just.
Yeah, I just want to know why spend so much energy on this situation when we got energy when they should spend energy likewise in the neighborhood where blacks are killing blacks.
Because they don't care. It doesn't get any media attention. The media has done nothing but perpetuate the actions of the New Black Panther Party.
This is a marketing tool for
everyone. Exactly.
Involved.
It's nothing more than a marketing tool.
And I didn't think my question was disrespectful.
Of course he thought it was disrespectful because you cannot question the criminality of African Americans. And if you do, then you're a racist or an Uncle Tom. That's the platform of these people.
They erupted.
I mean, the one point that I wanted to get him when he said there's a neighbor, a murder in my neighborhood, I mean, honestly, yeah, and his name is Rasheen.
Their platform is very, very simple, and I'm glad that he at least stayed on for an hour. But I don't want to get into an ideological conversation. People want to talk about that garbage all day, you know, about 400 years of oppression. That's straight up garbage.
Yeah,
okay?
the woman that you interviewed initially.
Yes.
That was her on the line.
So who is this on hold with us now?
That's me.
No, there's somebody else on the line.
No, there isn't.
There is.
Not on my screen.
Oh, then okay, maybe I need to refresh.
Yeah. The 502 number?
Yes.
Yeah, that was her. She went and clicked off.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, then she did. Okay, so my screen needed to update. Look, she can be as angry as she wants to be. As Sean
she left from Muhammad left.
Say again?
When she left from Kweli left.
Oh, okay.
She stayed
on for him. Okay. You know, the point of the matter is that, look, ideology aside, which is what I meant to say, ideology aside, this isn't about ideology. This is about using the death of a young black man as a propaganda tool. That's it. That's all it is. Nobody cares about anything but trying to use this as a scapegoat for unlawful behavior.
I agree.
Do you really think that you're going to change anybody's mind when these people are dead set on blaming?
You know what? I'm the type of person that has to always have faith. I always have faith. So, and regardless whether I change one person's mind or 50 people's mind, if I can touch one person throughout my entire life with something serious like that, because I really believe in that. I mean, I honestly, everything I said, I wholeheartedly believe in.
But it goes against everything that they stand for them to take your...
Okay, but that's okay. It can go against everything it is that they stand for. But if a centimeter of what I said can get into somebody's brain and they stop and think about, oh, yeah, she said such and such, or, you know, make them think back to something that I said, I'm okay with that. And if I have to, you know, I mean, it's like...
Mary, it's a delusion of grandeur.
You can believe that, and I appreciate your opinion, but
well,
I'm a faithful person.
I understand. I don't even know how to... I can't even respond to this, because there was a host of questions that I wanted to ask, but... You know, so upset. I am. I'm angry.
Whatever.
Do what you got to do. We'll take a break. It's Reese on the Radio. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak, right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how you
doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Ray.
Who do we have on the line?
All right. This is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Catrice on the radio, 9:14. Here's your time, 14 minutes after the hour on this Reese on the Radio. April the 9th, 2012. The number's 347-701. For those of you who haven't heard yet, George Zimmerman has a website now. The website is called TheRealGeorgeZimmerman.com. It has one brief statement, and it is asking for donations. It says, I am the real George Zimmerman. On Sunday, February 26th, I was involved in a life-altering event which led me to become the subject of intense media coverage. As a result of the incident and subsequent media coverage, I've been forced to leave my home, my school, my employer, my family, and ultimately my entire life. This website's sole purpose is to ensure my supporters they are receiving my full attention without intermediaries. It has come to my attention that some persons and or entities have been collecting funds thinly veiled as my defense fund or legal fund. I cannot attest to the validity of these other websites as I have not received any funds collected intended to support my family and I through this trying, tragic time. I have created a PayPal account solely linked on this website as I would like to provide an avenue to thank my supporters personally and to ensure that any funds provided are used only for living expenses and legal defense. In lieu of my forced inability to maintain employment, I will also personally maintain accountability of all funds received. I reassure you every donation is appreciated. Sincerely, George Zimmerman. Also, a member of George Zimmerman's family has sent a letter to the Department of Justice. According to a story that's been reported by CNN, George Zimmerman, excuse me, I apologize. Let me get back to that wrong story. Anyway, all right, this is a story from the Daily Caller and our previous guest, Mr. Matthew Boyle, who gave us this exclusive earlier today. Monday, obtained exclusively by the Daily Caller, a family member of George Zimmerman has asked the nation's top law enforcement officer why he has chosen not to arrest members of the new Black Panther Party for their rhetoric. By the way, this is what I wanted to ask them. And JC, please continue to try to get Khalid Muhammad on the phone. Some of which may fit the federal government's definition of a hate crime throughout the Trayvon Martin case. The family member believes the reason Holder hasn't made those arrests is because he, like the members of the new Black Panther Party, is black. Quote, I am writing you to ask you why, when the law of the land is crystal clear, is your office not arresting the new Black Panthers for hate crimes? The Zimmerman family is in hiding because of the threats that have been made against us. Yet the Department of Justice has maintained an eerie silence on this matter. These threats are very public. If you haven't been paying attention, just do a Google search and you will find plenty. Since when can a group of people in the United States put a bounty on someone's head, circulated wanted posters publicly, and still be walking the streets? Now, as I've already talked, the new Black Panther Party said that they're within their rights to place a reward. This may be the reason why the Department of Justice has not investigated the case. Sean Quali, who's reported on this show, says he's within his constitutional rights to put out that reward for the arrest or the apprehension of George Zimmerman. This is what it is that they're saying. I guess you could go to the Daily Caller and you can look at the letter yourself, which is being written to Eric Holder, the U.S. Attorney General. He is the top cop of the United States. I want to see if I can get a... okay, here's another quote. I would surmise that based on your own definition of a hate crime, you have chosen not to arrest these individuals based solely on your race, the family member wrote in the letter, insisting that there was no racial component to the tragedy that occurred on the late February night when Zimmerman shot Trayvon Martin. And again, you know, expressing the fact that there is no evidence to suggest that the shooting was racially motivated. The family member criticizes members of Congress who has forcefully criticized police for failing to arrest George Zimmerman, as well as the Congressional Black Caucus, the NAACP, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Spike Lee, and President Obama, adding that many who have commented on the case without having complete understanding of the facts no doubt understand the laws of our great nation. Noting President Obama's White House event last week celebrating the 1960 novel To Kill a Mockingbird, the Zimmerman family member drew a novel comparison to the American literary classic. Quote, strangely enough, this case has a lot of parallels to those of Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird. The letter to Attorney General Holder said, George Zimmerman has been treated much like Tom Robinson was, chastised for not being the right or wrong color, and found guilty based on race factors. You have the opportunity to act as Atticus Finch and do the right thing. Your boss would refer to this as a teachable moment. So again, you could log on to the Daily Caller to read that letter for yourself. The title is Zimmerman Family Challenges Holder on New Black Panthers, says that no arrest based solely on your race. As I've tried and continuously tried to get some clarity on these statements that are being made and to get a response from those involved, JC, what am I getting there? Are they not answering their phone, or do they just not wish to come on? JC?
I'm trying to log in right now. Hold on. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. He's not telling me that my mic is live. It's going straight to voicemail.
Okay, so all right. So they probably do not want to come on. And that's fine. If they don't wish to come on, they don't wish to come on. We'll try them one more time before the show is over, because I've got plenty of other things and news that I'd like to get into. You know, unfortunately, things didn't go as planned because I just wanted them to, whether or not, well, you know, I wanted them to outright denounce that there was going to be any violence that was going to be taking place if the Attorney General has decided that this investigation will not lead to the arrest of George Zimmerman. This appears, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, to be a case where people may use this as an excuse to behave badly and to cause harm to plenty of people. This is the report that came from the Associated Press today in regards to the George Zimmerman case. It will not be going to a grand jury.
A special prosecutor looking into the death of Trayvon Martin says the case will not go to a grand jury. Florida Governor Rick Scott appointed Angela Corey as a special prosecutor last month. George Zimmerman has admitted to shooting 17-year-old Trayvon Martin in Sanford in February. Then Police Chief Bill Lee said detectives were unable to arrest Zimmerman because of Florida's self-defense law. That law gives wide leeway to use deadly force and eliminates a person's duty to retreat in the face of danger. In a statement, Corey said her decision not to bring the case to a grand jury should not be considered a factor in the final determination of the case. It further says that from the moment she was assigned, Ms. Corey noted she may not need a grand jury. Matt Friedman, Associated Press.
So indeed, there may not be a grand jury in this case, and there is a strong possibility that there will be no charges. But just because that they are not giving this to a grand jury, they say that that does not mean that George Zimmerman will not be charged. He may indeed still be charged. We will probably know as early as tomorrow, and as you know, Reese on Radio will be on the top of that story, as we have been for the past couple of weeks. We'll see where this goes. We'll see whether or not there will be remotely any violence that strikes out in the street. If there is, you know we have to cover it. I'm sure that you know that we will cover it vigorously. And I don't care what it is that anybody in the New Black Panther Party says. This is going to be, it's going to be violent. There has to be, because that's where people are.
Yeah, currently, yes. But keep in mind, they have two investigations going, two parallel investigations. One with the FBI and one with the Justice Department.
But the FBI can only get involved in the event that there is a civil rights violation on the part of Trayvon's death. More and more evidence is starting to prove that it was not in any way motivated by race. But, again, there are people out there, and that's, you know, what I was trying to get to with Sean Quali, national spokesman of the Black Panther Party, with whether or not they were willing to believe that this was motivated by race. I didn't need to ask him that. It's obviously evidence that it is. But this is being used. The Trayvon Martin shooting is being used to push an agenda by the Black Panther Party that the white man is oppressing blacks in this country. That's their motivation, bottom line. And they know it. So, you know, what are you going to do? Anyway, let's take a break. When we come back, Obama has said for years, even back in 2008, that he wasn't in the pews when Jeremiah Wright was spewing the hatred that he was against America. Jeremiah Wright says different. Jeremiah Wright says that Barack Obama was indeed in the pews when all of that took place. And we'll hear Jeremiah Wright's own words when we come back. That's right, his own words when we return on Reese on the Radio. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
I
don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message. There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Reese.
Who do we have on the line?
All right. This is Sean Quali, National Spokesman, New Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sounds you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I-L-O-V-E, I-T.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com/... 31 minutes after the hour. This Monday, welcome to your week. April 9th, 2012. Be sure to log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. Follow us on Facebook at Reese on the Radio, and on Twitter, it's Reese on Radio. Somebody's got to teach me how to get rid of the old Reese on the Radio Twitter page, because I don't even, I guess I have to know the password or something. Somebody's going to teach me how to do that. But anyways, I can get a Reese on the Radio on Blog Talk. Anyway, I mean
we heard for years that President Obama in no way was in the pews at Jeremiah Wright's church when he was screaming, not God bless America, God damn America. America's chickens coming home to roost. All the inflammatory statements that Jeremiah Wright made at his church. That President Obama was not present. He was a member for 20 years, but he wasn't present. But then Jeremiah Wright said this.
CBS, ABC, NBC, and Fox News spent $4,000 each buying 20 years of my sermons so that they could hear what Barack Obama had heard for 20 years.
What Barack Obama had heard for 20 years. They spent $4,000 each buying his tapes to hear what Barack Obama had heard for 20 years. Should we not believe him? With everything that we've heard about Derek Bell, with everything we've heard about William Ayers, with everything we've heard about Father Flager, with everything we've heard about Saul Alinsky, with everything we've heard about the radicalism of Barack Obama, with Dreams of My Father and The Audacity of Hope, where he dedicates the book to his father figure, Jeremiah Wright. How are we not to believe Jeremiah Wright when he makes these statements?
CBS, ABC, NBC, and Fox News spent $4,000 each buying 20 years of my sermons so that they could hear what Barack Obama had heard for 20 years.
So, I'm trying to understand what that means. Did he or did he not? And it baffles me that anybody would suggest that Jeremiah Wright is lying. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, let me get off. Let me get off this. Someone had just sent me a message via Facebook that that we were on Hannity today. That we were on Sean Hannity today. JC, are you there? JC, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, a friend of mine named Bill up in Boston just sent me a message 5 minutes ago that says that my audio of the conversation with Michelle Williams made Hannity today on the Hannity program.
Really?
So Hannity is still broadcasting right now, and it will rebroadcast at, I believe it'll be at midnight tonight, so we'll watch that to be certain. I'll find out whether or not that's true.
At midnight.
Yeah, that would, I need to get that. I need to get that audio, and I'd like to thank Sean Hannity. I'm a big fan of his. And if indeed he did play the audio from my show, we'll find out. We'll keep you posted.
We're making bigger splashes than we think we are.
Oh, that would be huge, my friend. That would be huge. Again, we are out for justice. We are out to make sure that the truth comes out about this case, and we are doing anything and everything that we can to make sure that people know what it is that's happening in this case and how people are not only politicizing but racializing this case right here on Reese on the Radio. So I want to make sure that I reach out to the folks at Sean Hannity today, and we'll see where that goes. Absolutely. I don't even care about Jeremiah Wright right now. it doesn't matter to me at all about Jeremiah Wright. So for those of you who did miss it, if you didn't get an opportunity to hear that interview, let's play that again. Yeah, we're going to play that again. And this is the phone call I had earlier with Michelle Williams, who calls herself the chief of staff of the new Black Panther Party. All right, it's Reese on the Radio. We are on the phone with Michelle Williams. And Michelle Williams, your position with the new Black Panther Party is again?
The chief of staff.
You are the chief of staff, and you're located in the Tampa area, so you're pretty much near ground zero. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, you are being depicted online on places like Breitbart.com or Breitbart.tv and Drudge Report as making a call for violence in regards to the Trayvon Martin case. Is that true, or is that being misrepresented?
Well, my comments were, when I said that the state of Florida needs to be on fire, that's exactly what I mean. It needs to be on fire with judicial fights. It needs to be on fire with lawsuits being filed for the wrongful death, for the misrepresentation of judges, state prosecutors, And any other parties that have anything to do with these miscarriages of justice that we keep having when it comes to whites killing blacks.
Okay. George Zimmerman is part Peruvian and part Jewish, has been reported. Does that not matter to you?
Well, of course it matters to me, because this war that has, this race war and these miscarriages of justice that have been waged against the black woman, the black child, and the black man, it's just not happening from white people. It's happening from people of all nationalities.
Okay.
So, what about the reports that George Zimmerman used to tutor minority children, including African American children, for free? Does that not play a role in this belief that George Zimmerman is a racist?
Have any of those? I hate to ask a question with the question, but have any of those tutor students or their parents came forward to defend for this young man?
Oh, well, considering the fact that the man has a $10,000 reward for his head, there have been plenty of people who refuse to come forward because they believe that there will be retribution for coming forward. So, so fine, and I'll give you that. I'll give you that because they haven't come forward, then by no means is that confirmed. So let me ask you this. It has been confirmed that George Zimmerman went to bat for a homeless black man, Sherman Ware. Sherman Ware was attacked by a police lieutenant of Sanford, Florida. Police lieutenant's son. He was punched, sucker punched, and knocked down to the ground. George Zimmerman went after that police lieutenant's son and went after police officers to get justice for Sherman Ware, a homeless black person. He stood outside of black churches trying to get the black community to come to the defense of Sherman Ware, a black man. And black people refused to stand up for Sherman Ware. Would this change your mind about George Zimmerman being a racist?
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't at all. And let me tell you the reason why it's not going to change my mind. Because once everyone involved in this very delicate situation in this very delicate case, once anyone with a conscious mind takes the race card out of anything and look what has happened to Trayvon Martin, then we will allow ourselves to get to the bottom of the real questions and answers. We, everyone across the United States of America and abroad, we don't want to know what triggered him to continue to follow that young black man and shoot and kill him.
According to the evidence that's been displayed so far, George Zimmerman was told by the 911 dispatcher not to continue following him, and George Zimmerman said, okay. Can we determine, based on what we heard, whether or not George Zimmerman followed those orders or not?
Okay, and let me tell you something. I've listened to the tapes on MSNBC, NBC, Fox, and CNN, but has anyone really clearly, including the FBI, FDLE, and anybody else of any other agency involved in that, when George Zimmerman was instructed not to follow that young man, he continued to do it.
Wait, Miss Williams. How do you know that? How do you know that he continued to follow him?
Isn't Trayvon Martin dead?
That's not... No. How does that determine that he followed him? According to George Zimmerman's statements... And remember, we are not judge, jury, or executioner here. According to George Zimmerman, he was headed back to his car and was confronted by Trayvon Martin. Are you to say that that never happened? Do you know that that didn't happen?
Well, the last thing I know, and I've always been taught, a dead man can't talk.
That's not what I asked you.
I don't believe that.
I don't care what it is that... Miss Williams, I don't care what it is that you believe, because it doesn't matter what it is that I believe. I asked you whether or not you had any evidence to support that George Zimmerman didn't do as instructed.
Listen to the tapes again.
Because I asked you.
When George Zimmerman was instructed not to follow him, if you clearly listen to that tape again, when we backed out all the background noise, you know how when you get out of a car and get inside of a car, you hear the key chirping. You hear the key chirping.
Miss Williams, he says that after he was told to go back to his car, George Zimmerman walked away to get the police officer an address. Did you not hear that in those 911 tapes, that he was walking to get the police officer an address to meet him? Did you not hear that in the 911 tapes or no? Did you hear it or no?
Okay, the whole while he was on the phone with 911, we heard the shot go off.
No, actually, he was, no, Ms. Williams, not true. The person who you hear the shot go off, that is a witness who says that George Zimmerman was on the ground and Trayvon was on top of him. That is where you hear the gunshot. That is a separate call. That is a separate 911 call. That is a fact. George Zimmerman was not on the phone with 911 when the shot went off. That is a neighbor, in fact, the witness now known as John, who says he came outside, saw Trayvon Martin on top of George Zimmerman, banging his head on the ground and punching him, and he said, "I'm going to call police." When you hear the gunshot, that is from a separate phone from the witness known as John, who has come forward and said that George Zimmerman was on the ground and Trayvon was on top of him. Did you not hear that report, ma'am?
I've heard a whole bunch of foolery. I've heard the same thing. I've heard the same thing that we've witnessed as black people in America for the last 100 years, that white people still can do and cover up, make all type of false allegations and make all type of false incidents reports. We know that 75% of what goes in a police report is nothing but a blatant lie. And again, here it is right now that the whole world, the whole entire world has watched this case unfold in front of him, where we've all been like the waves in the Atlantic Ocean. We've all wavered from side to side.
Miss Williams,
okay,
let me ask.
Instead of being in the middle.
Miss Williams,
you asked me for an interview. Now you're gonna listen to what I got to say.
No, Miss Williams, because I want to stick with the point, ma'am. Miss Williams.
Both sides of the fence, and we've looked at what's going on. The same thing that's gonna happen. We all know right now, as blacks in America, that them damn Hawkins down in fucking Tampa, Florida, are not gonna give an arrest to George Zimmerman.
Miss Williams, let's stick with the case. Miss Williams, I'm only asking you to stick with the case. I understand with your grievance with white America. But Miss Williams, I called you about an interview about Miss Williams. I called you for an interview about your statements related to the Trayvon Martin case. Not. And there you have it. That is our interview. I got information that says that I got him.
You can almost hear her neck rocking. Her finger pointing.
If there's any truth to Hannity covering this, I would be shocked. I'll tell you, my chin would hit the floor. I got to be honest with you. My chin would hit the floor if he did cover that. Because I was just wondering whether or not these people had heard any of the facts or whether or not they were ignoring them. It appears to me, and you can disagree if you want, but doesn't it appear that they don't seem to care that none of this is motivated by race? Do they not seem to care? It appears as though all they want this to be is about race.
Well, it mobilizes their agenda.
Well, exactly. It completely flies in the face of their agenda. So, and you know,
but
they,
I mean, on the same token, I know that, and I'm not sure exactly how this is going to fall. Either way,
mm-hmm.
I kind of feel that I'm not as they do, but I kind of feel as though that there was still a civil rights violation. I feel as though the FBI is going to find it.
Well, I mean, you can't have a civil rights violation just because he told the police officer that he was black after he called him. He says George Zimmerman can prove one thing when he goes into that courtroom if he is charged. Can he prove that there have been break-ins in this community? He'll probably be able to prove that. Have the perpetrators been African American? He'll probably be able to prove that.
But he only said that the guy was black because the police officer, and it wasn't even a 911 caller. He was calling into a non-emergency.
That's
number.
Correct. He also called into a non-emergency
911. So,
yeah, they didn't have those facts either.
Whoever the dispatcher was asked, what is the nationality of this person? Are they white, Latino, black? And he says they're black, or they appear to be black.
Well, in fact, that's even part. He said he looks black. He's not even certain that he's black. He said he looks black. So that in and of itself says that, look, I don't really know. He looks black based upon what it is that I can see. He looks black. because he's in a hooded dark sweatshirt, it's nighttime, and it's raining. So I don't know how anybody's going to call a civil rights violation here. I don't know how anybody's going to... It sounds like a stretch.
What do you think?
Oh, come on, man. Are you kidding me? You don't think that that's a stretch, JC?
I do. I really do.
You gotta
well,
be.
You don't. No. I shouldn't because. I'm kind of torn with it. I'm still torn.
I know that. I think that there are passions running high. The fact that because he was black, he may have looked suspicious. And you know that there's a deep-rooted part of each and every one of us that know that, unfortunately, African-Americans commit these kind of crimes in these areas. And we don't want to admit it, because if we do, then we're some way racial, or being not even racist, that we're somewhat racializing the incident. What are we not supposed to respond because they're black because we're worried about the ramifications of suggesting it? That's ridiculous, JC. It's ridiculous. This is the reason why I played that audio in the beginning of the show now, you know, about Chris Rock. The reason why I play that is because Chris Rock makes a valid point. You know, they're trying to say that it's the media that's betraying them a certain way, but we know that's not true.
I see some black people looking at me. Man. It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking ish, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas, ish. Ted Koppel ain't never took ish from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, it's Mike Wallace. Run!
So, I mean, what Chris Rock is saying in the company of African-American people on his comedy show, we all know is true. But this is something that needs to be said out loud. We're not fearful. As black people, we are not fearful of white men shooting us out the street. I'll be honest with you, and I've been in the company of a large group of white people. I have felt less fearful around them than I am around my own. I'm scared to death to go into a black club, JC, and many people are. That's the reason why these young black kids are coming to those clubs with guns and knives. They don't come with guns and knives when they go to... If one of those black kids were invited by one of their white friends to an all-white establishment, the only thing that they would be nervous about is that white people view them as niggas. That's the only thing they would be concerned about. Ask them if they were concerned about whether or not they were going to be lynched, or whether or not they were going to be robbed, whether or not they were going to be shot, whether or not they were going to be killed. They would say no. The only thing that only black person would be worried about in the company of a group of white people is that they wouldn't be accepted. But if you get any one of them around their own black people, the one thing that they would be worried about is whether or not they were going to see a guy who was going to be in there and not like the way he was dressed, or thought he was too fly, or thought he was too cool, and whether or not there was going to be a fight jumping up because somebody was looking at his girl the wrong way. They are more fearful of their own people. Their own people. And yet, guys like the Black Panther Party are screaming racism. It's garbage. Black people fear black people for a reason. Because black people are out there killing each other. The only time one of these black people would be afraid is if they go into those deep south or those country folk that they always make fun of. You know, flyover country. Like going out to Wichita. They ain't ever seen those people in Wichita, Kansas. They ain't seen none of those people in Des Moines, Iowa. But they automatically assume that those people are racist lynchers. They've never seen them, even though they sit in their backyard knowing that a stray bullet might take out one of their six-year-olds by one of the people who look like themselves. Now tell the truth, man. That's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, I really can't argue with that one. I really can't argue that one.
I've never, you know, it's funny how black people always have an opinion about white folks they've never met. Isn't that odd? When they know there are black people out there that they meet every day who commit violence on one another, they pretend like it doesn't happen, but they rather make a sweeping judgment of white people they've never seen.
That works in vice versa, Reese.
But no, who cares about whether or not it's vice versa? Yeah, there are white people out there who make sweeping condemnation about black people they've never seen. And that's absolutely true. Of course there are people out there who do that. But I would say the same thing to those white people if they were sitting out there making a national stage of this rhetoric. And they're not, JC. They're not. The people who are making a national stage of a rhetoric that they cannot defend are people like the Black Panther Party, or people like Al Sharpton, the Jesse Jacksons, the NAACP. These groups are the ones who are making a sweeping, have a sweeping condemnation for people they've never met. Now all white people are responsible for Trayvon Martin's death. You can't tell me you didn't get that from the conversation we had with Sean Qualley.
Yeah.
That all white people are responsible for the death of Trayvon Martin. The racist police department in Sanford, Florida. The 200 to 400 years of oppression. It's all white.
But also on the same token, it's like everyone that I'm talking to, all of my friends, my black friends, African Americans, when I talk to them with regards to the Black Panther Party, they all tend to agree. Like, who are these people and why are they here? So you have to wonder. I mean, is that the general consensus? You know, like, what are they doing here? You know what I mean?
Race baiting profiteers. That's
who
they are.
I don't think they really have that many people listening to them.
Of course.
Everybody seems to agree that they make the situation worse than what it is.
Of course they do. Of course they do. Not even Trayvon's family is joining in the chorus with the Black Panther Party. They want no parts of them.
Which is why I ask, you're better off serving your own hood. Let's clean up our own kitchens before we try to clean up anybody else's.
They don't want to do that. JC, they're never ever going to do that. That's how disgusting this is. And that was the reason why I wanted them on. That's the reason why I challenged them. I didn't lose you, JC, did I? For some reason, I'm having some audio problems with not being able to hear you. You there? Anyway. It's Reese on the Radio. It's the last 2.5 minutes of the show. We're going to end. We're going to find out whether or not there's any truth to this story that my audio made it on the Hannity program. Unfortunately, I won't be able to tell for another 2 hours, which really sucks. But we'll find out. Tune in tomorrow. If indeed we did end up on the Hannity program, we'll get that audio. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll get a decision by the special the special prosecutor who is going to be deciding on whether or not this is going to go. Well, they said it's not going to go to the grand jury, but whether or not they're going to press charges. And we will talk to you then. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll see you tomorrow. For Mary, why are you bugging? For JC, the producer. And our good friend Kool-Aid Man, James Montgomery. We'll see you tomorrow. And we love you. guys, it's Russo on the radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Russo on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Russo.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak, right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.